someday.
Amen, amen. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. It's always a blessing to be able to come into the house of the Lord, to be able to come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm always reminded the words that David said in Psalm chapter 27, verse number 4. He said, "The one thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David wanted to be in the house of the Lord. He wanted to give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done for him in his house, in his life. They didn't have to drag David to the house of the Lord. They didn't have to threaten David to come into the house of the Lord or scare or frighten David. All they had to do was just say it. David said in Psalm 122, verse number 1, he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." So it's just a blessing. We thank God for us to be able to come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to express my appreciation to the leadership here at Fifth Ward, to the elders and the deacons and all who labor in word and doctrine. And I thank Brother Gary and all that he does for the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. It's a privilege to be able to stand in this place and preach the word. And we want to thank all those that are visiting with us today. You truly are our honored guests. And we hope, trust, and pray that you hear a word from the Lord today that will touch your heart in such a way to make you want to know more about what God expects from us. And we hope, trust, and pray that you have a desire to want to live up to those expectations. And how do we know it's a word from the Lord? Because we're going to say what the Bible says. Amen. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for the teaching, for reproof to show error, for correction to show us how to get the error right, and for instructions in righteousness." Righteousness comes by obeying and following the instructions of God. Righteousness is what God says it is. Righteousness is not what seems right to me. Righteousness is not what seems right to you. Righteousness comes by obeying and following the instructions of God. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Sometimes we do things that seem right, and we look back, we say that was the wrong thing to do. There's a way that seems right, but righteousness comes by following and obeying the word of God. That right, that kind of faith will be counted as righteousness. Amen. So we want to thank all those that may be watching by way of television, and we hope, trust, and pray that one day you can come and visit with us. We would truly appreciate your presence. Let us look into the perfect law of liberty and see we can pull some spiritual substance to nurture and edify the body of Christ and bring glory to God. Is that all right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. Say amen if you're there. The Bible reads, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." In the NASB, the New American Standard, it reads it like this. It says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable servants with reverence and awe." The title for the message today is Returning God's Love with Gratitude. Returning God's love with gratitude. And this returning is not us trying to pay back God for what he has done for us, because we can never fully pay back God for what he has done for us. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." God offers us eternal life through Jesus Christ when we deserve death. And for that, we ought to be grateful and eternally grateful to God for the love that was shown towards us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it said, "But God has commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, when we weren't even thinking about him, he was thinking about us. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We're going to be saved that the blood by the blood that was shed for us. And knowing this and understanding this, we ought to be eternally grateful. We never lose that sense of gratitude. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. He said, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." People often ask me, what's my purpose in life? People have said, Vincent, I want to know all what God has for me to do in life. I don't know all what God has for us to do in life, but I know where we can start. We can start by being more grateful and showing more gratitude for what he has done for us. He said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God is looking at our character. He's looking at our mannerisms, our demeanor. Are we grateful? He has an expectation for gratitude. We should be grateful. Therefore, since we receive in the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us show gratitude by which we may offer up to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. We want to do it with some gratitude, with some gratefulness, because we understand what we have. Peter said it like this in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 9. He said, for the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's patient with us. He wants all to come to repentance. Verse number 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He says, with fervent heat, in the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse number 11, he said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter said, since we know that all these things are going to be dissolved and we know what we have, what kind of person should we be? It should be no such thing as an ungrateful Christian. We should be the most grateful people on the planet because we know what God has given to us. He's given us a kingdom that will not be destroyed, will not be dissolved. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, he said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he said, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Paul is saying we know what we have. Peter is saying we know what we have. Since we understand what God has given to us, we ought to show gratitude. We ought to be in a constant state of gratitude. Amen. We never lose this sense of gratefulness. And this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, it's so powerful to me because the author is saying this to a group of believers who are going through great persecution. When you study the book of Hebrews, they were being persecuted for what they believed in. And he's saying in verse 28, he's saying, show gratitude. Show gratitude while you're going through the persecution. It's easy to show gratitude when everything is going okay. It's easy to show thankfulness when everything is okay. But when we're under persecution, we're going through trials and troubles and tribulations. Can we just show gratitude in those times? Because that's just what he's saying right here. Hebrews was written to a community of Jews who had converted to the teachings of Jesus Christ. They had made a decision to obey and follow the teachings of Christ. And because of that decision, they were under great persecution by Jews who refused to come out of Judaism. And not only by Jews, but by Gentile nations were persecuting them also when you study the book of Hebrews. And they were being persecuted for what they believed. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says that they were being publicly humiliated and insulted. In the days of Nero, Christians would be set on fire and put out as street lights. They were made public spectacles of. And it was getting so bad that some of them wanted to turn back. They wanted to leave what they were teaching and go back. That's how bad it was getting. And then he says, show gratitude in your service. On top of all that, he's saying, show gratitude and don't turn back. He says to him in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. He said, for ye have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He said, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He said, but we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Think about your soul's salvation. A lot of us want to be saved from current situations that we're in, current circumstances. But he's saying, think about your soul's salvation and don't turn back. Stay with God no matter how bad it gets. And then on top of it, he's saying them to show some gratitude in it. And then also he went one step further and he offers the cross. Look at the cross. Draw strength and draw power from the cross when you're going through things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, he said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. Some people think this is foolishness, but the cross we can draw power from when you're going through your trials, troubles, tribulations. Think about Christ. Think about what he went through, the price he paid for us. When you're in situations that you seem unfair to you, or things happen to you that you didn't deserve, think about him. He didn't deserve what happened to him, but he did it for us. So the Hebrew writer is saying, now look to Jesus. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse number 3, he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Fainting in your mind is giving up all hope. But he said, consider him that endured this contradiction against, it was what they did to Jesus was in direct contradiction of who he was. He was treated as a sinner, but he wasn't a sinner. He was treated like a criminal, but he wasn't a criminal. So it was in direct contradiction of who he was. He didn't deserve what happened to him. So he said, if you find yourself in a situation you feel like you don't deserve, draw strength from Jesus. And they knew it. They knew it. I remember Pilate saying when they delivered him up to Pilate, Pilate said in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 22, Pilate said unto them, he said, what shall we do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said, let him be crucified. They cried out and said, let him be crucified. And verse 23, the governor said, why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more, let him be crucified. This was in contradiction. He found no fault in him. And then when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he said, took water and he washed his hands before the multitude. And he said, I'm innocent of the blood of just person. You see to it. Pilate knew this wasn't right. He didn't deserve what was happening to him. His wife knew it, too. I remember reading in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 19, says when he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him saying, have nothing to do with that just man. She said, I've suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. She knew this wasn't right. It was in direct contradiction of who he was. He wasn't treated the way he was supposed to be treated. And he said, we can draw strength from this because he did this for us. I remember when John Baptist heard the teachings of Jesus in prison. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 2 says, now John heard in prison the teachings, the works of Christ. And he sent two disciples which came unto him. And they said, are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? They wanted to make sure. And Jesus said unto them, he said, go and show John again these things that you do hear and see. He said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he said, blessed is he whosoever that shall not be offended in me. Jesus, it was in direct contradiction. He was going around helping people, teaching people, feeding people, and they treated him as if he was a sinner. They treated him as if he was a criminal. He didn't deserve it. A lot of people look at the shootings and things that are going on and say, God don't understand. Does God understand how these people feel? Yes, he does. What did his son do? His son didn't deserve to be treated that way. People call me and say, innocent people are being killed out here, and they want to question God. But I said, God understands. His son, what did his son do? Don't tell me he can't relate that he don't know what we're going through. And they think we're peculiar people because we come in here and we say we serve a good God, even in the midst of all the turmoil that's going on, because we know what he's given to us. We know what he's done for us. It was in direct contradiction of who he was. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 27, he said that the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to a common hall and they gathered together a whole band of soldiers. And when you study this, the cruel out of the beating that he received. So they stripped him down. They put on him a scarlet robe. They planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him. They was mocking him. And they said, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him, took the reed out, and they hit him over the head with it. And after they had finished mocking him, they took off the garment, put on his own garment, led him away to be crucified. He died on the cross for us, and he didn't deserve it. He died and he was buried, but like Brother Murphy always say, don't leave him there. If you put him on the cross, don't leave him on the cross. You put him on the grave, don't leave him in the grave. Get him up before you sit down. Amen. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, and we need to preach it like that. Some people want to teach how bad he suffered, and he did suffer, but we got to let people know he got up, because that's the power that the resurrection represents, an end to death. It represents an end to suffering, an end to pain. We got to let him know he got up. That's the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3, he said, for I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, how that he was buried, and how that he rose again according to the scriptures. Amen. The gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection. We got to let people know he got up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 14, he said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain also. It's power in preaching the resurrection. Let people know that there is an end to suffering in Christ. There's an end to pain in Christ. Let them know that they want to be in Christ. So we got to preach the resurrection. My Bible says, your Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, as it became end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Dawn was early in the morning. The first day of the week was Sunday. So it was early one Sunday morning. So it came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And it says, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Said his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel of the Lord said to the women, he said, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And he said, and go, watch this, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he go before you into Galilee, said, there you shall see him. He says, lo, I have told you. Verse number 8, and they did depart quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy to run and to bring his disciples word. Now look at this. The angel said, lo, I've told you. The angel said he did what God would have him to do. And the women did what God would have them. They did go tell. And Jesus did what God the Father would have him to do. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9 says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So God the Son did what God the Father would have him to do. Now we have to do what they would have us, God would have us to do. Amen. We have to, in order for Jesus to be the author of our eternal salvation, we have to obey him. Does that make sense? The angel obeyed, the women obeyed, Christ obeyed God the Father, and we have to obey if we want Jesus to be our eternal Father. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I remember the teachings of God speaking to Saul, the king of Israel at the time, and God commanded Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. You remember that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 3. He said, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Remember that? And he said, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel. And he commanded them to destroy everything. And then Samuel, the prophet, came to Saul after the battle and he heard the bleeding of the sheep. And he said, you did not obey the voice of the Lord. And Saul says to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 20, he says, I have obeyed the voice. He said, verse 15, verse number 20, he says, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone thy way the Lord has sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse number 21, he says, but the people took of the spoils, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now listen to this. Saul has a certain level of understanding. I want us to catch this. I want us to see this. He knew that whatever we offer up in sacrifice, it had to be the best. So he said they took, he wanted Samuel to understand he understood something. He said they took the chief of the things. Some translations say the best of the things or the choice. He understood that whatever we offer up in sacrifice has to be our, and I hope we get that. I hope we understand that too. If we offer up singing to the Lord, it has to be the best. Whatever we offer up in sacrifice, it has to be our best. That's a certain level of understanding that he has. Amen. But now Samuel wants Saul to understand, to go to another level of understanding. So he says to him, watch this. He says in verse number 22, Samuel says, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He said, behold, now watch this. He wants him to catch this. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than fat of rams. So now he wants him to raise his level of understanding. He said, I want you, you're right. You're correct. God does delight in our whatever we offer as what we offer up to him, as long as it's done in obedience. So he wanted them to understand that it all needs to be done in obedience. It's not to exclude what we offer up, but to make sure that we offer it up. And that's another level of understanding. Amen. So he's trying to help Saul with this next level of understanding. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28, the Hebrew writer is trying to help the church with another level of understanding. He's saying now, whatsoever you do now, do it with some gratitude. Put some gratitude, put some gratefulness in your obedience. Don't just come in here, obey, but just ungrateful. He said, therefore, since we receive in the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us show gratitude, whereby we may offer up to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Put some gratitude in it. Put some gratefulness in what we offer up to God. Amen. Write this down. Write this down. Let us show gratitude. I know people are taking notes. Let us show gratitude in our obedience. Amen. Let us show gratitude in our obedience. I remember when Jesus healed the 10 leopards. Y'all remember when Jesus healed the 10 leopards? Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. And it says that as he was going, went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, he says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leopards. Y'all remember that? And they lifted up their voice and said unto him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, watch verse 14, he said, go, show yourselves unto the priest. Amen. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Their obedience got them cleansed. They understood a certain level. They didn't complain. They didn't say, why we got to go over there? He said, go and show yourselves to the priest. As they went, their obedience got them cleansed. Amen. Verse number 15. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and came and lifted up his voice and giving God glory to God. Only one of them had another level of understanding that I need to come back and show some gratitude, show some gratefulness. Does that make sense? And he fell down. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. You see that? He cried out and he gave thanks. He put some gratitude in the obedience. You know how people say, well, it don't take all that. I don't know where they got that from. They didn't get that from Jesus. Y'all all right? When the dude said, when he cried out and he gave glory to God and he fell down on his face giving thanks, Jesus didn't say it don't take all that. You want to know what Jesus said? Jesus said, verse number six, Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus now is looking at character and the demeanor and our mannerisms. And he reveals something to us about himself. Jesus notices ungratefulness. This tells us something about Jesus. Now, somebody could say, Vincent, show me the book and the chapter and the verse where he commanded them to come back and give thanks. I can't show you that. But I can show you something about Jesus. He exposed something about himself. He notices ungratefulness. Let us not fall into the category of people who know book, who know chapter, who know verse, but don't know Jesus. Y'all all right? We want to make sure that we know Jesus. We know the character of Jesus. And his character notices ungratefulness. Does that make sense? And so then he said, there are none that return to give God glory except this stranger. And he told him, he says, arise, get up and go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. He got some spiritual cleansing. See, so oftentimes we pray and we want this physical cleansing. But how much do we ask for this spiritual cleansing? Huh? We want our situation to be cleaned up, our relationships to be cleaned up, our finances to be cleaned up, our credit to be cleaned. We pray for all that. When do we pray for us to be cleaned up? Does that make sense? David said in Psalm 51, verse number 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When do we pray that? When do I pray to clean me up? Not just my credit, not just the relationship, not just circumstances, but clean me up. So now every time I go around now, I make sure I preach and say, be grateful and be thankful. I used to go around preaching obedience, but I would leave off the gratefulness. I would quote Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I would stop right there. And I would mash on that button, just be, you know, we got to do everything by authority of Jesus. And we do. But I never deal with the other part of the verse. Here's the whole verse. It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. It says, giving him thanks, give thanks, put some gratefulness in the obedience. Don't just come here and sit in here and say, I'm being obedient, but showing no gratitude. He said, let us show gratitude. Does that make sense? I should go around preaching that there is one church and there's only one church. Jesus only built one church, died for one church, buried for one, raised for one, and he's only coming back for one church. But I would stop right there. Listen to the verse I would quote, Colossians chapter 3 and 15. I would say, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And I would stop right there. But the whole verse reads like this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, by the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be thankful for the one body. Put some thankfulness in your obedience. Show gratitude. And that's what the Hebrew writer is telling me. He says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer it up to God an acceptable service with reverence and godly fear and awe. He said, let us show some gratitude. We ought to be the most grateful people in the planet, and they ought to be able to see it. They should see our gratitude, and no matter what is going on in the world, because we know what we have. Does that make sense? Write this down. Let us show gratitude in our sacrifices to God. Whatever we offer up in sacrifice, let us show some gratitude. I will go around and I will quote Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise continually, that is, with the fruit of our lips. He said, look, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, with the fruit of our lips. But I would never quote the whole verse. I just wanted people to know that praise is with the fruit of your lips. But when are we going to deal with this gratitude? The whole verse reads like this. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When you say, we ought to say thank you. We ought to part our lips when we come in the house of the Lord and say thank you. Does that make sense? In our song, in our prayer, I appreciate the song. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. We ought to open up. How are we going to just punch the clock, come sitting here, and never part our lips and say thank you? And the kids see that too. People have said to me, I wonder why my kids don't show a deeper gratitude for God. I said, do you show a deeper gratitude for God? And they told me, they said, well, I bring them every Sunday and every Wednesday night. That's not what I asked you. I said, do you show a deeper gratitude for God? Some people think just because of in their obedience, because they showing up, but they see you talking when the preacher talk. They see you talking when the communion is being done. They see you talking during the prayer. Are you showing gratitude? So why would we expect our kids to show gratitude to God when we don't? More is caught than taught. They caught what you did. They said you obedient. You came every Sunday and every Wednesday, but were you grateful when you got here? Did you complain coming? Oh, he's preaching today. I don't like him singing today. Huh? Do we walk in with some gratefulness and gratitude? It's more than being obedient. It's another level. Show gratitude. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner, see this mannerism, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. Amen? He said, now listen, this we got to come together. Continually is not convenient. When he says, by him, therefore, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually is not convenient. Sometimes it's not always convenient. If we only come in when it's convenient, we don't understand continually. Does that make sense? If we only give in when it's convenient, we don't understand sacrifice. He said, let us sacrifice and offer continually. If I'm only coming only when it's convenient to me, I don't understand continually. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And also, write this down. We want to, let's show a deep respect in our service to God. Let us show a deep respect in our service to God. I remember reading when God revealed himself to Moses. And the first thing he taught Moses was to respect me. Let's look at this in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 3. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 3. It says, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 5. And he said, this is God talking to Moses. He says, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. If we think it is talking about shoes, we're missing something. If we think he's talking about his shoes dirtying up the ground, what he's teaching him is show me some respect. He understood the language. They would take off their shoes before they went in the house, before they went in the synagogue. It was a sign of disrespect to wear your shoes in there. And so he knows that Moses understood that. So he says, listen, before he told Moses who he was, before he told Moses all that he would have Moses to do, that he would go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, before he told Moses all what he had to do, he said, show me some respect. And I think we need to understand that. We need to show a deep respect to God. He said, therefore, since we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us show gratitude whereby we may offer up to God an acceptable servant with reverence and awe. Do we know what the reverence is? It's with a deep respect. Amen. Let us show respect to God. I had people say to me, Vincent, I want a deeper knowledge of God. People ever told you, I want a deeper understanding of God. I want a deeper wisdom of God. And so they go out and they buy all these books and start learning all these definitions. That's not how you get a deeper knowledge of God. We should study, and we should study to show ourselves approved. But let me tell you something. Samuel said, he said in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. They understand this. The fear of the Lord, this fear is not being terrified. It's a deep respect. That's just the beginning of the wisdom. That's just the beginning of it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. If you want a deeper wisdom, start showing a deeper respect for God. If you want a deeper knowledge of God and a deeper understanding, start showing a deeper respect for God. Does that make sense? They used to, when you read in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they opened the word, they used to stand for the word of God. I know we don't do that here. And I know we don't have New Testament scripture for that. But the people showed a deep respect for God. And if you want a deeper wisdom of God, deeper understanding, show a deep respect for God. We need to do things with reverence and awe. Does that make sense? Do things with reverence and awe. He's watching our attitude and checking our attitudes while we're doing this. I remember growing up, we used to have to wash the dishes. My brother, my sister, and I, we used to take turns washing dishes. And I hated washing. I did not like washing the dishes. And I used to let them pile up. I used to let the dishes just pile up. And my mom would tell me, she said, boy, go in there and wash those dishes. And so I would get up and go wash it, but my lip would be poked out. And I would be frustrated, man, and I'd be there in there slamming dishes around. Lord, I can still remember like it was yesterday. My mom would get up and come in there and help me adjust my attitude. My mom, she had an attitude adjustment technique, and it worked. It would help you adjust your attitude. Listen, now I could say I was being obedient. I could say, well, she told me to get up and go wash the dishes. I could say I was being obedient, but she was checking my attitude. She noticed my attitude. Don't have us put God in a position where he needs to check our attitude. We may not like how he's going to do it. Does that make sense? So we want to always show a deep respect, the deep fear. He said, do it with reverence. Do it with a deep respect. I love to see when I see the young men and they come dressed. I'm going to just say this, and I know everybody don't feel the same way about this, but I hope we know what we're doing with it, and I hope we never stop. When I was coming up, my mom, we had these certain shoes. You didn't play in them shoes. You had certain shoes you go outside and you play in. Does that make sense? You had certain clothes, you better not let her catch you playing in them. But Sunday morning, we used to go to church. We weren't going to worship at time then, but we was going to church. And he said, we would go to church, and my mom said, put on those clothes. Let me tell you, I knew this wasn't no plaything. Because I knew when I was putting on those clothes, you don't play in those clothes. So I want us to understand something. You understand? It's putting on a mentality. It's putting on a mindset of serving God with some reverence. I hope we understand what we're doing today. Because don't let your casual, I'm not saying how we should come, but don't let your casual dress attire cause your singing to be casual. Worship is not casual to God. Don't let your casual attire cause your giving to be casual, cause your praying to be casual. It's not casual to God. We got to give our best with everything that we give. And whatever it takes to put on that mindset, do it. Some people say that they listen to a song before they come in. Do it. Some people say they pray before they come in. They sing. Whatever you have to do to put on that mindset, but to come in with that gratefulness. Come in with that respect. Now, if your casual dress don't cause your singing to be casual, that's fine. If your casual tie don't cause your giving to be casual, that's fine. But sometimes we can become so relaxed that we just come in here and it's so casual. And we're just singing cash on giving and just I showed up on obedience and we're missing gratitude and gratefulness. We don't understand the next level. Does that make sense? So we want to put some gratefulness in our obedience, put some gratefulness in what we offer up to God and our sacrifices, and do it all with a deep respect. Do it all with some reverence. If we understand what reverence is, it's doing it with respect. Does that make sense? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 100, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't just serve him. Serve him with gladness and enter into his presence with singing. He says, and know that the Lord, he is God, and that it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Watch this. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come in. Come in with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generations. Listen, the only proper response to the love that God has shown us is to do it with gratitude. Returning God's love with gratitude. That's the only, and let us understand that next level. And this is what the Hebrew writer is telling them. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us show gratitude, whereby we may offer up to God an acceptable servant with reverence and awe. Amen, somebody? Amen. If you're here today and you haven't made a decision to follow and obey the teachings of Christ, let me just say something. Jesus offers us a peace that this world does not offer us. He said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse number 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He said, you're not going to find this type of peace in this world. If the world doesn't have it to offer, you're not going to find it in alcohol or drugs or sex or money, position or title. This world doesn't have this. It's only found in Jesus. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Watch this. And you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. That rest, that peace you're looking for, you're going to find it in Jesus. If you make a decision to obey and follow the teachings of Christ, he offers a peace this world cannot offer you. First, it come by way of hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 said, so then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we got to hear the word of God. You heard the word of God and how the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He suffered a death that he didn't deserve, but he got up on the third day. Amen. So then you got to believe what you heard. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a reward of them that diligently. You have to believe what you heard. And then you got to be willing to repent, to turn away from that life and say, I want to live a life for Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, he said, for the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repent. He wants all of us to come to repentance. And then we got to be willing to confess. Matthew chapter 10, 32. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father. We got to be able to confess him. Tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers, your family, your friends that I'm obeying and following the teachings of Christ. And that's where my peace is coming from. We got to be. And then we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Amen. You got to hear. You got to believe. You got to repent. You got to be baptized. When Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, he preached that death, burial, and resurrection. And they heard it, they was pricked in their hearts. And they said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when they said to Peter, what should we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we obey. We have to obey. The angel obeyed, the women obeyed, God, Jesus obeyed, God the Father. We have to obey. Be baptized today for the remission of your sins and receive that peace. And the Lord will add you to the church that you can read about in the Bible, the church that he's coming back for. And show gratitude, understanding we know what we have. And if you hear you're a member of the body of Christ and you sinned and it puts you a distance away from God, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Come down and let these brothers pray for you. You can come down now while together we stand and sing.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, say sinner, why don't you answer somebody?